Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Thursday, February 3rd. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Have a great show planned for you today. Jim Harbaugh is apparently still going to be the head coach of Michigan in one of the most bizarre offseason coaching searches or a coach trying to get out of town situations I've ever seen. And then Jimbo Fisher absolutely sounds off about basically Nick Saban, his $30 million recruiting class and NIL, and you know, just sounds like he's really angry because people have been so mean to him and his program. So we got a lot to talk about today, but I do need to mention my parlay went 1-for-3 last night. The Cavs lost to the absolutely terrible Rockets, and Chris Drew is, you can't see him, but wearing a Rockets hoodie right now like a complete fucking dickhead. So the Cavs lost, and then here's the hardest thing about sports gambling, and obviously I place these bets on my bookie. If you guys aren't signed up yet, promo code Menace gets you free money. But I you know, at 7:30 in the morning, I picked the Capitals to beat Edmonton. And, you know, it's tied up 3-3 in the third period, but like maybe an hour before the game, they announce Ovechkin is in COVID protocol. I don't know how you handicap sports unless you wait until the very last second and place bets on teams. Like some of these NBA games, I mean, obviously Ovechkin's one of the best players in the NHL, and him not playing is a huge swing. It's just, I don't know how you do this with the COVID protocols as is.
And Darius Garland not playing as well last night.
Absolutely. And I had a long conversation with a very, very prominent member of sports media two nights ago. And what we're going through right now is going to be very, very, I don't know about society changing, but everything that's going on with COVID right now is going to be an eye opener as you watch all these countries that are dropping, you know, losing their mask mandates, losing the, you know, no more quarantines, no vaccine mandates, no cards, none of that shit. Because I mean, John Hopkins just put out a study that masks don't work. And I mean, it's one of the first studies from a university that are typically the opposite side of the spectrum. They put out a study that basically said quarantines and masks just simply don't work. And that's what all the data has always said. But some people, I mean, it's like you have an opinion, and I understand it, that, you know, you're trying to do good, right? You're trying to do what's good for what you believe is good. And so you do it without any data because you're trying to, you know, what's the risk, right, of wearing a mask? None, right? No risk. I mean, there is some.
And it makes sense. Risk. Like it makes sense in theory.
Yeah. I mean, just like the 2 weeks to slow the spread, right? The quarantine stuff we did. I mean, it all made sense. Like when you don't know, a little bit of panic, right? In the middle of a pandemic, you make these decisions to, you know, try to just do what we can to stop it, right? And then my biggest problem was after a while when you started seeing data points and it showed you that these things were not working. My biggest problem was the misinformation that was spread afterwards, right? And still being spread by the president and still being spread by a lot of people right now. I mean, what, almost 2 years later. But not only that, but it's when you realize that, okay, that stuff didn't work, which is okay. Everyone's trying to, you know, attack a pandemic. Like, what? Of course you're going to knee-jerk reaction, do some things, and if they don't work, that's okay. Like, no one should be mad about that. I mean, you're just trying to stop a pandemic. But when you double down and the data proves you wrong, or proves that, not proves you wrong, because you aren't wrong for doing it, but when the data shows you that stuff is not effective and you keep doubling down and keep selling it and keep pushing it, that's where you lose people. And you know what's going on globally, where people, you know, these countries are pulling the mask mandates and pulling the vaccine mandates and pulling those things and getting back to life as we know it. We're going to get into a period here in media where people are going to say, wait a minute. So we were kind of duped by the media and by, you know, by these stories. And now we're learning like, yeah, maybe we should second guess things, which is what this country is based on, right? Second guessing and being apprehensive. I mean, that's the greatest thing about this country is if a political person or a media member says something, the apprehension to have your own opinion, form your own opinion and research it, that is what a free society is all about. And I wanted to start, Chris and I talked off air about this Joe Rogan situation with Spotify. I don't know. I've listened to Joe Rogan podcast. It's obviously phenomenal. It's probably the number one podcast in the world.
Spotify exclusive podcast.
Yeah. Spotify exclusive. Like this man signed a huge deal to just be on Spotify. But I don't know. He could be lying. First of all, it's a podcast. Like if nothing else, it's entertainment. It doesn't matter if he lies, right? It's no different than watching a TV show. I guess it's a little more dangerous if he is lying because it's being sold as truth and honest opinion. But either way, I know this much. Anytime people are trying to leverage something to silence a voice, it's bad. It's called censorship. It's what communist China and North Korea live on, right? They can. You look at North Korea; they control the narrative for their entire country. I saw a documentary one time, Chris, about North Korea. I don't know who it was. I don't know how they got in there, but they're like interviewing kids and people in North Korea, and these kids, you know, with conviction, were explaining why they hate America, and they said it's because America has concentration camps and kills people for being Jewish, and like all this stuff. You're like, wait a minute, no, that was Germany. Like, that's not going on here. But these kids believe it because they have a country that is controlling the entire narrative and the entire media coverage and controlling what they believe and brainwashing them. And I don't. We're not completely there yet as a country, but damn, we are pushing. We are pushing hard. Like Joe Rogan not having a voice and all these people pulling their music from Spotify because Spotify puts it on, and The View, these fucking douchebag women that are just like boycott Spotify because Joe Rogan is on it. Since when is that a good idea? If you disagree with Joe Rogan, if Joe Rogan is completely radical, what does that matter? This is America where free speech is king, right? You're allowed to be radical. And if someone is, let's say he's completely fucking full of it, completely awful, like lies, like spreading misinformation, that's on you as an intelligent human to either not listen or not believe it, right? The whole country is based on all opinions and all points of view being free to be spread. And then it is on you as a citizen to decide what is real and what you believe. Like, I can't understand this cancel Joe Rogan because he talks about ivermectin or whatever, you know, whatever he's talking about.
It's interesting because like Joe Rogan's never passed himself off as a scientist, Zach. Like Joe Rogan is there for, in the podcast world, and in his portion of the podcast space is more about entertainment rather than information. And lots of conspiracy theories, lots of like, you know, crazy stuff. He's never passed himself off as a scientific journalist. It's just kind of what he reads, what he sees, what he goes through, paired up with the fact that he tries to dramatize it. And, you know, so it's become this foolish thing where people are, you know, trying to pull their, you know, music off of Spotify, do this with Spotify, do that with Spotify. It's like if I were to listen to an astrology podcast, Zach, and spread information about, you know, don't go out driving today because something's in, you know, retro something. And it's like, well, I'm not passing this off as like a scientist. I'm just it's more for the kind of entertainment value. And people that listen to Joe Rogan, I think, would kind of understand that if they took more than 2 seconds.
If we're going to cancel people for spreading misinformation, cancel ESPN, cancel the Cover 3 podcast, cancel College Football Nerds, cancel fucking Barstool Gambling podcast. I mean, cancel everything that's completely full of shit because you're going to cancel 90% of media. Like, well, what do we, and my, I guess my, what's confusing to me is it's all around COVID, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Joe Rogan, I've seen and heard several podcasts and video clips of him discussing COVID with some of the top experts, the CNN top experts, liberal top experts, Republican top experts, you name it. He's had them all on. And I've seen him absolutely hand it to, you know, whatever you want to call it, left wing COVID people. And I've also seen him get his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I can't remember the topic, but he was discussing something and made a statement. And the guy that was on was like, no, that's not true.
Oh, like, he was talking about vaccines and effects in children.
Yeah. He was talking about it. And it's like, he got completely destroyed because his point was invalid. And he even looked it up and researched it on air and was wait, that is wrong. So like, that's reality, right? That is a real podcast. That is real information. That is a real platform. He got his ass handed to him when he was full of it. And he also handed it to a bunch of people that are full of it right there live and in person. So I'll never understand it. And honestly, if you believe that Joe Rogan should be canceled or muted, you are the fucking problem. You are North Korea. And I know that's extreme, but literally that's where this is headed, and the stuff that has gone on. And obviously, you know, my situation, it's not as dramatic as COVID, but it's just proof that people can be manipulated through the media and through narratives and with no repercussion and honestly, no recourse. There's no going back and revisiting it. And I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people about what I should do next, because here we are with this massive platform, right? It's growing by the week. And it's really doing unbelievable things, but yet still no major network will touch it, right? No one is interested in putting us on their network or even local radio. And not that I would do local radio, I don't think. I mean, I don't know, but it's like, why? Because you read something on Google? Oh, from Brett McMurphy from stadium.com that, you know, was only alive to report my situation and get Urban Meyer fired and then just went away. Brett McMurphy's clown ass works for fucking Action Sports Network, which is a gambling platform. Like what are we, you know, let's consider the source here. It blows my mind how people literally will let media decisions and media narratives drive what they believe without doing any research. It's crazy to me.
No, you're right. And Brett McMurphy's a clown. It's always been that way. I mean, he's literally
You saw his tweet about, it's hilarious. Cause like 70 people reported that Jim Harbaugh is coming back to Michigan. And then he reports it. Breaking news. Action Sports Network has learned. First of all, that's hilarious to say, oh, I bet Action Sports Network has some real investigative motherfuckers that are out there learning a lot of shit. I mean, it's a gambling platform, you douche. But he said Action Sports Network has learned Jim Harbaugh will return to Michigan, and then he had to. I mean, just because he's such a qualified and great reporter. He said,
great journalist.
It's been 765 days since Ohio State's beat Michigan. It's like, okay, just all out here for clicks, huh, Brett? And honest to God, if I ever see Brett McMurphy, I promise you, you can write it down, and you can already book it and just know that it's going to happen. And so if you're going to be, you know, think I'm a bad guy for going to jail, I'm going to punch him square in his fucking mouth. Like the minute I see him, no words, I'm going to walk up to him and knock his fucking teeth out. That's going to happen if I ever see him, which God forbid I do. Or no, God willing, I do. I'm going to
shave
his
that perverted mustache off. Yeah, I'll shave his mustache off.
That's what I should do. Knock him out and shave his fucking mustache. But that would only do him good. He might not look like such a child molester.
All right, back to the football. You dropped a little bit of a bomb there. You know, Menace of Sports has learned that Jim Harbaugh is returning back to Michigan.
Breaking news.
Breaking news this morning from the Vikings. Now, this is quite the scenario, Zach, because this is so he on signing day, he went and interviewed and, you know, it was kind of a foregone conclusion. By me included, thinking that Vikings job was absolutely his. I know my guy Anthony was on Twitter pressed because, you know, he's an Ohio State fan and a Vikings fan. This is not what he wanted. And then it fell apart. Maybe he didn't get the job, but it was a very public affair, quote unquote. Like Jim Harbaugh went and cheated on his wife on his anniversary and now came back. And I feel like the damage is already done. How the hell do you come back? How the hell do you recruit? Will this relationship ever be repaired?
Well, I mean, he's going to try. And Michigan fans are kind of like celebrating it. Like, yes, he decided to stay. He didn't decide to stay. You don't fly to Minnesota on signing day to do an interview, stay overnight to do a second interview, go through all of that and then have a change of heart. Like, this is a grown man that made a decision. He was going to go to the NFL. He was going to take whatever opportunity he could get. And unfortunately, they didn't want him. They didn't offer him the job. And the minute he realized it was going the wrong direction, he pulled out of it to save face and to make sure that, you know, that he got the reaction he's getting for the most part, which is that he decided he wanted to be at Michigan. No, he didn't. He realized he wasn't getting the job. And so he pulled out to save face and stayed at Michigan. And I don't know how he is going to recruit against anyone when there's very clear evidence in this example of he is going to leave for the NFL if he can. So why would you go to Michigan? Like, there is an almost 100% chance that if you're a high school senior, you know, upcoming senior, you're the next recruiting class, there's almost a 100% chance that Jim Harbaugh is not your coach for your 4 years of college. How do you make that decision? Because you don't know who they're going to hire next. You don't know the situation you're walking into. He just crippled his own program and his own self by doing this.
Sabotaged himself. He shot himself in the foot.
I can't understand why he would do it. Like, what? I mean, he wanted out. He knew he'd hit the ceiling and he wanted out. And unfortunately, he's such a fucking goofball that he couldn't get the job. And it blew my mind anyways when all this was discussed the last 3 years that he was going to leave for the NFL. It's like, why? Why would the NFL hire him? Like, I know what he did in San Francisco. He went to a Super Bowl. Okay. What does that matter? I mean, honestly, what does that matter now? You look at the data set and the resume and everything he's done at Michigan. What makes you think he'd be successful in the NFL? Because he went to a Super Bowl one time? I guess that's why. I mean, I can't understand the allure for NFL teams to even consider Jim Harbaugh. And I never could. And here we go. He had the best. And I said that 3 years ago. I said it 2 years ago. I said it 1 year ago. Here we are off the heels of the best season in Michigan history, probably since they lost to Ohio State in 2006, the number one versus number two game, right? And he couldn't get the job still, coming off the heels of the best season he's going to have. So apparently I was right. The NFL does not want Jim Harbaugh because they're certainly not going to want him next year when he goes 9-3, when he doesn't win the Big Ten, when he doesn't make the college football playoff, when his team doesn't look like a great team. Like, they're not going to want him then. If they didn't want him now, they never will, right? It's like that high school guy that won a state championship and was prom king and the hottest girl in school didn't want him. It's like, well, she's never going to. If she doesn't want him now, like, now he's a hot ticket. He's a hot item. Jim Harbaugh has no interest from NFL execs. Not, I mean, enough to get an interview, but they're not going to hire him. If they didn't hire him now, they're never going to hire him.
And the one other point here is, Zach, this was so public. Like, instead of being like Lincoln Riley and like kind of doing this behind closed doors, Jim Harbaugh essentially made sure every single thing got out. And he celebrated essentially getting a job interview, not an offer. Yeah. And with that kind of became that he was trying to shit on Michigan very, very publicly, you know, taking the victory lap, the classic Michigan way, like the same way you expect someone who celebrates going 1-5 against his arch rival. He was so public with this that it was damning and it was probably embarrassing because I don't think Jim Harbaugh is the type of guy that interviews really well because he's kind of a clown. He's a weird guy, Adam Gase type of dude. But the fact that he did this so publicly and so in everybody's face, like the nah, look, I'm off to the NFL. It's a terrible look and he should take notes from Lincoln Riley. Maybe do it behind closed doors. Yeah. Does it appear a little bit more shitty? Yeah.
Here's the problem.
If it falls through, it falls through.
Yeah, here's the problem, right, is when you're the head coach of Michigan or any top, what is it, maybe top 15 program in the country, you don't interview, right? You don't interview for a job. You get offered the job and make a decision. The fact that he went through the interview process kind of shows you that they didn't value him. And it's no different than when I got offered a job at Alabama. Like, initially, I mean, Mike Locksley called me and said, hey, I talked to Nick. We, you know, if you're serious about leaving Urban, we want to hire you. And I was like, all right, well, what do we got to do? Like, I'm definitely interested. He was like, well, Nick wants, before he offers you the job, he wants you to come down here and you know, kind of half interview, half just meet him.
Just get to know you.
And I was like, no, Mike, I can't do that. I can't tell Urban, as the receiver coach for Ohio State that I'm going to go interview for the receiver coach at Alabama? Because what if he fires me for considering that, and then you guys don't hire me? I'm out of a job. I said, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that's stupid. No one would do that, right? To take a great situation and a job that you have and jeopardize it for a potential job. It's just, you just never do that unless you're desperate. So I made sure that was clear. And so Nick Saban offered me the job before I would fly down there and meet him. Otherwise, I'm not doing it, because there's a chance Urban Meyer is just going to pull the plug and say, all right, you want to go fly down to Alabama for Nick Saban? Fuck you. You're fired. Like, you don't have a job here, so you better leave. You better go there. So you just don't do that. Like you said, Lincoln Riley wasn't going to interview for USC. What do you mean? He could get fired from Oklahoma for interviewing for USC. Plus, the optics are bad, right? You're a big-time coach at Michigan. You're going to go try out to be the head coach of the Vikings? What's that mean?
And be super public about it.
And what's that say about your program that you are running? And what if this happens? This nightmare situation where you're basically saying, all right, this is not a great place in Michigan, so I am going to go try really hard to get this job. And if I don't get it, man, I got to come back to this place that I have just publicly kind of let known that it's not where I want to be. It's not a good job. I'm trying to get out of here, and I got to run a program. And you're going to get complete bullshit. Like, oh, I've changed my mind because I'm a Michigan man. This is where my heart is. You're going to get all that bullshit. But it doesn't change the fact that you just don't do that. And I can't understand why he would do it. I do have a little bit of respect for how public he allowed it to be. I mean, he was honest with recruits. He was honest. You know, he didn't lie about it. It wasn't in the dark of the night. There was plenty of reports, and he basically said, well, this is what it is. Like, I'm going to be honest. So I can respect that, as opposed to Brian Kelly, who 1 week before he takes the LSU job, he's saying there's not a blank check big enough in the world to get me to leave Notre Dame. Like, I got a problem with the cowardice that it takes to make statements like that and then leave. But it just wasn't smart. It certainly was virtuous. Like, it was the right thing to do morally, was be honest about it to people. Like, I'm considering the NFL. I'm going to go seek these opportunities and see what happens. Like, that's the virtuous thing to do. That's the proper thing to do in life, but not professionally. not if you're not going to leave and come back to Michigan and expect to succeed.
And there's definitely an in between. Like, to use Ryan Day as an example, I'm sure there was a conversation between the Bears organization and Ryan Day. And you know, there was leak that there was interest, like this or that, but there was never a, let me fly out and go interview, or let me tell I'm going to the NFL. It was more of a, let me figure out what I want to do before, you know, before this turns into a volatile situation.
Well, and the other problem here is that, you know, those conversations happen between agents. Like, coaches don't ever need to get involved in those conversations, right? I mean, your agent is talking to their search firm, or their G, you know, whoever's making the hire, the GM, doesn't matter, the decision makers. Your agent is talking to them, and they are working out the interest levels. And as a coach, you don't even need to you'll talk to your agent. He'll be like, hey, the Bears called. I'm gauging their interest. I'll let you know. You're like, all right, cool. Let me know. Like, I don't even have to be interested. I don't have to consider it. My agent is going to talk to them and handle it all. And then when there's something there, he'll call me and say, hey, listen, so the Bears really want to move on this. Are you interested? And Ryan Day said no, right? And he even put out a quote, like he said, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Chris. He basically said, like, if I take another job, I'll be going alone because my family's not leaving Columbus. And that is honest to God the truth. His son is well entrenched to be the quarterback at Olentangy High School. His daughters are really thriving. I mean, his one daughter plays travel softball in the softball organization that my daughter does. Not on the same team, but like, Ryan's family is absolutely thriving and loving it here, obviously. And you know, they've bounced around the country from, you know, Boston College to Philadelphia Eagles to the San Francisco 49ers to Columbus, Ohio, all within like 3 years, four moves. Like, they're thriving, and he's not leaving anytime soon. So that's just what it is.
Yeah. So it's just crazy. And I do wonder about the recruiting moving forward. And this, like you said, this is the hottest he'll be as a coach, but now he's got to face those, because he tried to hit and run, man. He tried to say the same thing he said to Pete Carroll back in the day when they were both in the Pac-12 together about, you know, being born on third base. He tried to say that to Ryan Day and then dip immediately after. And he's going to get caught next year in a bad, bad way for him, in Columbus especially. And then I wonder if Brett McMurphy will put the tweet up about it's been X amount of days since so-and-so beat so-and-so. But, you know, neither here nor there. I do want to talk about the other Jim, Jimbo. Jimbo went off yesterday, had a little bit of a rant at media day or whatever, a press conference, and was not thrilled by how his recruiting class is being talked about, basically calling people clowns, going after Ole Miss, taking a shot at the VP of Notre Dame, and taking kind of shots at Nick Saban over there as well. He said that they basically would have had the number one recruiting class with or without NIL. Factor cap, Zach.
The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. I will tell you two things first before I address this specific situation. I will tell you that in my career, I've always believed this, and there is certainly always exceptions to the rule. And Urban Meyer used to say it all the time. And I can honestly tell you that there was minimal cheating that I saw in recruiting. And I recruited South Florida, Virginia Beach. Like, you can't recruit more hotbed areas than I recruited. And I heard about minimal stuff, but it wasn't bad. And Urban Meyer used to always say it, and I believe it. Like, the coaches that blame recruiting successes for other schools on cheating oftentimes just got their ass beat in recruiting, right? That it's just like, oh, how did Alabama get Jerry Jeudy? Well, they fucking cheated. They gave him money. It's like, no, they didn't. They just beat me for Jerry Jeudy. That's what happened. Right? They didn't give Jerry Jeudy any money. I know his high school coach is a good, good friend of mine. Like a year or two later, he would have told me, like, well, yeah, you know, they gave him like 10 grand. I mean, he would have told me, mm-hmm. Right? They didn't. That didn't happen. But I promise you, so many. Greg Sardrawa was the best because he coached at LSU. He used to talk about all the cheating that Nick Saban does. And I'm looking at him like, oh, fucking LSU's clean. come on, man. But it was like, oh, Alabama beat LSU while he was there consistently because they cheated. It's like, no, they didn't. They just beat your ass, and you need that excuse. That's most of the time the case. However, if we learned anything from Ole Miss signing the number one player at like five different positions in a school where you're like scratching your head, like, what? Why?
When they DK Metcalf, Laramie Tunsil, AJ Brown, all those dudes in that weird.
Yeah, all of them. Van Jefferson was one that I recruited that went to Ole Miss, and you're scratching your head like, Ole Miss, what the fuck? In those situations where something so bizarre, you're like, this can't be right. Guess what? It's not right. And Jimbo is entirely like covering for shit right now. And here's my issue with it, right? One is he doesn't have to know about it. Some of the stuff that goes on in recruiting, coaches, I mean, they might have an idea that it's going on, but they don't know direct details. They don't know who's getting what money. They don't know who's getting how much, because honestly, then you have plausible deniability, right? Even though now it's more legal, I think there still is that notion that, well, we don't want to just pay recruits to come. Like, that's a bad formula. For a number of reasons. One, the next recruit's going to be like, wait, why did he get 500 grand and I'm only getting 300 grand? Like, that you cause problems by doing that. So you want to, if you have plausible deniability, you can deny that you know anything about it. That's one side of it. And the other side of it is, and Jimbo went off. I mean, went off on how it was disrespectful to the work this staff put in. And, you know, some of these schools are talking about NIL and they're the ones using it. Texas A&M's not, and you know, these kids all just went to Texas A&M because it's just a great school. It's a great school, Chris.
And he said, and there's no better place to come play football,
which is, I mean, it's complete clownery, if that's a word. It's clownery, because no one's going to Texas A&M because it's a great school. Nope, sorry, Jimbo. Did this for a long time, recruited for a long time. There is very, very rare situations where a kid gives a flying fuck what your school is like. It's always about playing time, development, NFL. It's, I mean, honest to God, 1% of the time the kid is like, oh, I mean, how's the school's prowess academically? It really is. Like, they don't care. And here's the other problem. one of my really, really good friends that I met in recruiting, a longtime friend who still, I mean, just flew up here with Shamar Stewart, by the way. I guess I'll put the cat out the bag. Shamar Stewart flew up to Columbus to see Ohio State this past summer. Him, myself, Shamar, his young quarterback, and the quarterback's dad all went to dinner. And I sat there and talked to the kids and talked to him, talked to the dad, talked to everyone, right? So I know for a fact these kids are getting money. I know for a fact that kid was paid money to go to Texas A&M. For a fact, 100% concrete, fuck Jimbo Fisher and his bullshit lies. I know for a fact they're getting paid. So he can claim that it's the academic prowess of the fucking business school like a complete douchebag, or just own it. It's legal. It's like he got caught in the past. He's like, oh, I gotta deny this. I mean, this is a big story. Now I'm with him on the source and the media, how they can drive a narrative. I mean, $30 million is absurd. That is not what they're getting paid. That's not what Shamar Stewart got paid. He didn't get paid anything.
They meant as a whole, like the whole class.
No, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
But let's say there's 25 kids in the class. He didn't get $1 million. They would all need to get $1 million for it to be $25 million. Right. So that is not the number. And that was solely driven by, as Jimbo said, like seven times, some guy named, I don't know, Pillowcase Paulie or something on a message board site. And it is hilarious that, and what I do agree with is he's talking about like the vice president of Notre Dame is throwing this out there, like misinformation. Like, what kind of leadership is that? I agree with that. Right. Like, consider the source, right? Just because. Where did the information originate? So the information originated from a message board, and then unfortunately some big time media personalities ran with it and promoted it and talked about it and used the same number. And then the vice president of Notre Dame, Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, like all these people are
me. I said it.
Shit, we did too. And it was more conversational. I wasn't saying that they 100% definitely,
except that was the rumor of the number that was floating around, 30 million, based on how the recruiting lined up, because it was like only kids inside the top 100, and then nobody else outside the top 100 was even being crystal balled to A&M. So it was like, oh,
well, when you sign seven of the top 32, seven five stars, yeah. Like what they
super
did,
super outlier. Super
but here's
outlier.
The problem, Chris. There's a reason for that success, right? I'm sure they worked hard. We're not trying to disrespect Texas A&M staff or the work they put in. But there is other schools that are just as good at recruiting and worked just as hard. So you're not going to sign 7 5 stars. You might sign 4 and it's like, wow, we beat everyone's ass. But 7 5 stars, what they did does not happen just because, gee, golly gum, man, we worked hard. Like, no, other people worked hard too. You're not going to sign the class they signed without money. You're just not. Look at Ole Miss. Look at what schools have done that. The only school that's done what they've done, and no, well, I'll take that back. No one has ever done what they've done. But the schools that have been even in that realm are Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, teams that are in the playoffs and recruiting at a high level consistently. Texas A&M hasn't been to a playoff, hasn't been to Atlanta, let alone the CFP. And you're going to tell me that they just worked really hard and convinced every great player to come there? No. Nope. I mean, you would have to be a fucking moron to believe Jimbo Fisher. You would. And I know he's like, he's really got that whole persona down. Like, well, that's just bullshit. Like, those, yeah. We don't have no $800,000. We don't have no $800,000 NIL deal for our quarterback. Nothing even close. And Ohio State put out, they have the best NIL deal in the country. What, bitch, Ohio State's not paying for recruits. You did. Shut the fuck up. Like, it's just, I just can't. I can't watch the coach presser. I would love one day to have media credentials and just go to an interview like that and be like, timeout, coach, and then start asking questions. Because I promise you, every other media member would shut up and let me take the floor, because I would mop the fucking floor with Jimbo. Mopped it.
I mean, we'll start applying for credentials. That can be done. I'm not sure anybody would touch us, though, for a little bit, especially with this episode coming out here pretty soon. I do think it's just a mess, man. It's like, do they have good recruiters over there at A&M? I'm sure of it. But it's like the NIL is like a little bit of steroids. Like, we understand you work hard. We understand that you have put together a hell of a recruiting class. There's a little bit of extra juice in there. You know, you're hitting those 75 home runs because you work so hard, but because of that little bit of extra. So it's definitely a little odd for him to you know, go out like that. And I haven't heard anybody really insulting his staff, Zach. I haven't heard anybody kind of come out insulting. If anything, more applauding kind of the work that they've been able to do. And I thought it was funny that he, you know, the Ohio State stuff. I would love nothing more than to clone Doug Archie and drop him off in the Texas A&M office.
Oh, you, if Jimbo thought Florida State was bad and he left because of Florida State's administration butting heads, if Doug Archie got dropped off in fucking State College, whatever it's called, College Station, whatever the fuck the name of it is, Texas, Jimbo would, I mean, he would run for the hills. I mean, he wouldn't even know how to operate. It's just absurd. And it's hilarious.
Just comedy. So, with that, I mean, Jimbo Fisher, you know, he went from the Mia Khalifa recruiting videos to now the bag men. Either of them are the reason that they're really getting any love. Zach, do you want to do a call today? What are you thinking? Are we bringing back Greenlee or are we saving that for another day?
Well, we definitely need to do a hometown hero challenge, don't we?
Let's go. It's Thursday.
So tell me your thoughts. I think a great one, another small town right outside of Richmond. I think Travion Henderson would be a good one to try out. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm 100% with it.
All right, well, let's call a barber shop in Hopewell, Virginia. Let's find one. All right, I'll dial them up. All right, Chris.
Barbershop.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jim Greenlee, and I was calling. I was in there maybe two, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and we got to the conversation about a local kid that went on to play college football, and I'm sitting here with my buddy trying to talk about it, and I can't remember the feller's name. I didn't know if you were there that day or if anyone was there or might be familiar who I'm talking about. He's a high school.
Travion Henderson.
Gosh, you nailed it.
are you familiar with the feller?
I mean, I grew up in Hopewell, but my kids aren't in school or anything here. So, I mean, I just know what everybody talks about him.
So that's his name, Travion Henderson. Where did he go to school? I can't remember where he went to school.
For college or?
Yeah, for college. Yeah.
Ohio State.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I apologize. I was trying to find it on the internet. Couldn't find it. So I figured I might as well just call and see if y'all knew who he was. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye. Wow.
Yo, that was quick as shit.
I mean, I didn't even get to the story. Like, I didn't even have to explain anything. Hometown fucking hero. Stamp it. Yeah. Verified.
Yeah.
Travion Henderson rating. Is hometown hero. I mean, instant. Might be the biggest hometown hero I've ever had doing these phone calls. And for those of you that don't know the backstory, I used to do this to players all the time. Like, I'd walk through the locker room and they'd be talking about, like, it all started with Austin Mack. He was sitting there like, bro, I walk down the street in my hood and people just know me. Like, they know who I am. Like, he's talking about, he's big time in his hometown, and players would argue about it. And so I heard it, you know, a dozen times. And finally I was like, all right, let's find out. Let's find out if you really are that notable in your hometown. And so I would call barbershops, you know, not for camera, not on a podcast, not for clicks, just to either verify their claims or call them out for not being as big time as they thought. But Travion Henderson gets the fucking award. He's the hometown hero of the year so far.
Definitely.
Wild. Yeah. Well, there you go. There you have it. Had to get that in. We'll do that every Thursday, I think, is a good idea.
That's a great idea.
So if you have any nominations for a player that you'd like to find out, how big time are they in their hometown? Because that was wild.
And we weren't going to call Brett McMurphy's hometown because we don't know where he gets his stash come.
Well, honestly, I just didn't want to be implicated in any kind of child molestation court cases. You know, you call the wrong place, the wrong kid got touched in the wrong place, in the wrong body part. I don't know. Right. I don't want any part of that. So I'm not going to take part in any Brett McMurphy stuff. Excuse me. It's Bert McMurphy, Chris. His name is Bert. We call him Bert. But anyways, that's all I got, Chris. Had to do a hometown hero challenge. We got our mailbag coming tomorrow. If you got a question, shoot it to us. We already got a couple. I saw, Chris, I'm sure you've seen more, but shoot us a message on Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Drop your question there. We will pull them, talk about them tomorrow. Also, Twitter Spaces at 2:00. Chris, we got a snow day here in Powell, Ohio, so I might have to go sledding. I got, again, these Delaware County courts, man. I got 4 kids running around here, and I don't know why they're here. I don't have custody of them. I'm not allowed to see him. I'm a bad guy that beat his wife and is going to prison for all these other things. But these kids keep coming. So I'm going to take them sledding. I'm going to take them sledding until the courts figure out that I'm not supposed to have them. But that's all I got, Chris. Menace out.
Out.